So good morning and welcome to my presentation on results from our study on health outcomes associated with excessive lung function decline and respiratory symptoms in a community cohort. As the presenter, I have no financial relationships with commercial interests to disclose. So, two methods used to assess respiratory health status in occupational respiratory health monitoring of at-risk populations are periodic spirometry testing to measure the status of lung function and questionnaires to collect self-reported data on the presence of respiratory symptoms and disease. And in creating workplace respiratory prevention strategies, a thorough understanding is needed of the relative contributions of each of these methods in predicting adverse health outcomes. Our aim was to study the risk of morbidity and mortality associated with excessive lung function decline, respiratory symptoms, and asthma in an aging community-based cohort. We wanted to evaluate the usefulness of the level of lung function and various measures of lung function decline in predicting morbidity and mortality, investigate the level at which lung function decline becomes a significant predictor of morbidity and mortality, and as to assess the usefulness of respiratory symptoms and asthma in predicting morbidity and mortality relative to lung function level and decline. We used the Copenhagen City Heart Study data, a prospective study of cardiovascular disease in 23,000 adults 20 years and older, and during a 28-year period, there were four clinical examinations, including spirometric measurements of forced expiratory volume in the first second, forced vital capacity, and a self-administered questionnaire on respiratory symptoms and disease. Morbidity data were from the National Patient Register, and data on cause-specific mortality were from the Register of Causes of Death, and for all-cause mortality from the Civil Registration System. We used a longitudinal study design to investigate associations of morbidity and mortality with respiratory health status. Morbidity and mortality follow-up started at examination 2, which was in 1981 to 1983, and lasted through 2007. We used FEV1 in our study because it's the best measure to assess the rate of lung function decline. Associations were studied with the level of lung function at examination 2, and also with the level of the lung function decline over the first two examinations, and respiratory symptoms and asthma from the second examination were also included in these models. We stratified the models by gender, and rather than controlling for smoking, we created separate models for never smokers. There were three health outcomes of interest. First, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease defined as the initial hospital diagnosis of COPD using the ICD-8 and ICD-10 codes listed. Note that ICD-9 codes were not used in Denmark. The second outcome is mortality due to COPD or coronary heart disease as the underlying or contributing cause of death. And the third outcome is all-cause mortality. We used the Cox proportional hazards model to relate the incidence of morbidity and mortality outcomes to lung function, respiratory symptoms, and asthma. Additional Cox models with penalized blinds were used with the overall cohort to identify cut points in the rate of decline where risk began to increase. Time until a morbidity event was calculated from the exam date until the initial diagnosis of COPD, death, or the end of follow-up, and time until a mortality event was calculated from the exam date until death or the end of follow-up. For the models with the level of lung function, we included quartiles of the height-adjusted lung function level. The quartile with the highest level of lung function was used as the reference category, and the models were adjusted for age and included respiratory symptoms and asthma. For lung function decline, we identified trends in risk using models with quartiles of the slope, where the slope in FEV1 was the change in milliliters between the first two examinations divided by time between the tests, and the reference category was the quartile with the lowest rate of change. We also evaluated lung function decline using two dichotomous criteria. First was the relative limit of longitudinal decline, which accounts for an average with in-person variability in FEV1 over time, or data precision. We used a value that approximated a 15% annual decline in FEV1, which is equivalent to the approach recommended by the American College of Occupational and Environmental Medicine. The second dichotomous criteria was a slope of 90 milliliters per year or more, and it was used for comparison with the LLDR. And fourth, in the models with using a spline, we use the FEV1 slope as a continuous variable. And all these models were adjusted for age, height-adjusted baseline lung function level and height, and included respiratory symptoms and asthma. Self-reports of asthma and chronic bronchitis were collected starting at the first examination, and subjects were asked, do you suffer from asthma, and do you bring up phlegm for as long as 3 months each year? By the second examination, shortness of breath was added, and subjects were asked, do you feel out of breath? In the models, we used only the second symptoms in asthma from the second examination because we wanted to include shortness of breath. Over 9,600 subjects were present for both examinations 1 and 2. The group was 56% female, 19% were never smokers, and the average baseline age was 53 years. For the health outcomes, 10% of the subjects were hospitalized with a diagnosis of COPD. COPD and CHD mortality occurred in 18% of the subjects, and all-cause mortality occurred in 60% of the subjects. Now for the results for Objective 1, where we evaluated the usefulness of the level of lung function and various measures of lung function decline in predicting morbidity and mortality. First are results for the quartiles of the level of lung function, which were adjusted for age, asthma, and respiratory symptoms. Note that the first quartile, which is the highest level of lung function, is not shown, but it is the reference and has a hazard ratio of 1. And asterisks represent statistical significance. In the chart, we see an increasing trend in the risk of hospitalization with COPD with lower levels of lung function. And by the fourth quartile, which is the lowest level of lung function, males and females were 16 times more likely to have been hospitalized with COPD than the reference, and never smokers had a fivefold increase in risk. For the level of lung function in COPD and CHD mortality, again, there is an increasing trend in risk with lower levels of lung function, but the risks are lower than for hospitalization with COPD. Females and never smokers consistently had higher hazard ratios than males, and by the fourth quartile, hazard ratios reached above 5 for females and near 4 for never smokers. For the level of lung function in all-cause mortality, the hazard ratios were lower than for COPD and CHD mortality, but were fairly similar across the three groups, reaching just above 2 by the fourth quartile. Second are the results for the models with lung function decline, which were adjusted for age, baseline lung function level, height, asthma, and respiratory symptoms. The chart contains results for models for the quartiles of the slope with the LLDR and also with the slope of 90 milliliters per year or more. The reference categories for these three different measures of lung function decline are not shown, but each have hazard ratios of 1. The risks demonstrated by the quartiles of the slope show an increasing trend in risk with increasing lung function decline, and by the third quartile of the slope, males and females were already more than 2.5 times more likely than the reference to have been hospitalized with a diagnosis of COPD. These represent declines of 60 milliliters per year or more for males and 57 milliliters per year or more for females. And associations with COPD morbidity and the LLDR and a decline of 90 milliliters per year or more were very similar to one another and were also most comparable to the risk demonstrated by the third quartile of the slope. For the quartiles of the slope and COPD and CHD mortality, there is again an increasing trend in risk with increasing lung function decline. But the risk is less for than hospitalization with COPD, and there are fewer significant results for never smokers. By the fourth quartile of the slope, COPD and CHD mortality was nearly twice as likely for males than the reference, and nearly 3 times more likely for females. These represent declines of 118 milliliters per year or more for males and 95 milliliters per year or more for females. The risks are very similar for the LLDR and the decline of 90 milliliters per year or more, and their values fall between the third and the fourth quartiles of the slope. For lung function decline and all-cause mortality, overall the risks of the quartiles of the slope are lower than for COPD or CHD mortality, but are fairly similar among males, females, and never smokers. And by the fourth quartile of the slope, all-cause mortality was 50% more likely for each group as compared to the reference, And again, the risks are very similar for the LLDR and the decline of 90 milliliters per year or more, and their values fall between the third and fourth quartiles of the slope. Next are the results for Objective 2, where we investigated the level of lung function that becomes a significant predictor of morbidity and mortality. Using data for the overall cohort in Cox models with a penalized spline, we identified cutoff points in the FEV1 slope as a continuous variable where morbidity and mortality risk began to increase. And for hospitalization with COPD, risk began to increase at a decline of 54 milliliters per year, and the linear term for this model was highly significant. The spline for the risk of COPD and CHD mortality indicates that the risk began to increase at a decline of 72 milliliters per year, and the nonlinear term was significant for this model. The spline for the risk of all-cause mortality shows that risk began to increase at a decline of 77 milliliters per year or more, and again, the nonlinear term was significant in this model. Now for the results of Objective 3, where we assess the usefulness of respiratory symptoms in asthma in predicting morbidity and mortality relative to lung function level and decline. If you recall, in Objective 1, I presented the results from models with the level of lung function and the FEV1 slope adjusted for respiratory symptoms and asthma and a number of other key variables. So now I'll present the risks demonstrated by asthma and the respiratory symptoms from those models. And we can see that asthma and respiratory symptoms were often significantly associated with hospitalization with COPD. Chronic bronchitis and shortness of breath demonstrated higher risks than asthma for males and females, but asthma was most predictive in never smokers, with hazard ratios approximating approximately 4. Asthma was not significantly associated with increased risk of COPD or CHD mortality. Chronic bronchitis was associated with COPD or CHD mortality for males and females, and shortness of breath was associated with COPD and CHD mortality in models with the level of lung function, but only for males and females in the models with the slope. And shortness of breath roughly doubled the risk of COPD or CHD mortality in males and females. The pattern and associations for all-cause mortality are very similar to those for COPD and CHD mortality, but with lower hazard ratios, and associations with shortness of breath were the highest, with an approximate 50% increase in risk. In conclusion, excessive lung function decline is a risk for hospitalization with COPD, COPD and CHD mortality, and all-cause mortality, even after adjustment for age, baseline lung function, and respiratory symptoms in asthma. The level and rate of lung function decline generally demonstrate a higher risk of morbidity and mortality than respiratory symptoms in asthma. And these results provide further evidence that evaluation of excessive lung function decline, in addition to cross-sectional evaluation of the level of lung function, is important in spirometry monitoring programs. I would like to acknowledge the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, Morgantown, West Virginia, for providing funding for this study and mentorship for my dissertation research, and the Executive Scientific Committee of the Copenhagen City Heart Study for permission to use these data to conduct my dissertation research. Thank you. Any questions?